a little bit of update for those of you who don't know who I am. My name is Luke. I grew up here, and right now I'm a church planter in training with the AFLC. And I came and gave an update a few weeks ago just about what our plans were, and things have changed so much even since then. It's crazy. Right now we're looking at heading out to South Dakota for a year to train, and then coming back to plant in Buffalo, which is the initial place that we're looking to plant, Buffalo, Minnesota. So we're going to go out to South Dakota at some point here, probably closer to the summer, and we're going to train with a pastor named Andy Coyle. He's a church planter out there at Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, and we're going to train with him for a year and just do ministry and learn as much as we can, and then come back to Buffalo and plant. And we are so excited and a little scared and terrified, but all at the same time. It's good, though. We know God's got a plan, and we know he's providing. And one thing I really wanted to do was include you guys as much as possible, because you guys have invested in me so much in my life and made me to be the man that I am today. One thing I really wanted to do was try to include you in my journey, in our journey of planting this church in Buffalo as much as possible. I know it's difficult because there's that four-hour, time of drive out to Buffalo area there. But I wanted to try and include you as much as possible. And so this is a little bit of what I've been trying to work at. But so I'm going to show you two videos today. One of them was 2 weeks ago now. We went to this Church Planters Conference in Mesa, Arizona. And we were just suffering for the Lord out there. It was horrible. It was 70 degrees the whole time, and it was just an awesome time of rest. But more importantly, it was a really great time of encouragement for Kate and I. As we were prepping for this church plant in Buffalo, we found two people at the church planters conference there that were willing to come with us to Buffalo to plant when we do. It's so encouraging, because I knew God had been planning out this group of people, this team that we were going to plant with. But it was just so encouraging to see that played out, and it was a really cool experience. And that, so I have a little clip that's just a recap of that week. There it is. So that was just like a little bit of a recap of the week. But you guys saw some familiar faces there. You saw Eli Neufeld there. He's a parish builder at the church there in Mesa, and Pastor Dale was singing in the choir there. So it was very much. A great time of fellowship, where we got to meet with some of those people we haven't seen in quite a while, and as well as just a great time of encouragement, where they just brought the word. And realistically, the message that I'm bringing here today is largely an accumulation of all the messages that were preached that week. They just were just packing us with sermon content. It was great. So one of the other things I want to do is include you in our journey as much as possible. And to do that, I'm creating a YouTube channel. I don't know how many of you watch YouTube. I know the younger guys here, and Wyatt and those guys in the back, I know they're all watching YouTube. But one of the ways that you can keep up with us is we're going to be posting videos consistently on our journey as church planters. And with the goal of the YouTube channel is very much the same goal as our church plant. It's to help people to love God, love people, and make disciples. If you'd show that second video, this is just a little bit of a taste of what you'll get. It's not all vlogging material, but this is just us trying to include you as much as possible in the process that we're going through as church planters.
What's up, guys? Luke here. I just wanted to show you a day in the life of a future church planter. Got my lunch here, got my water bottle, heading to work out in Buffalo. I already went running this morning. I'm going to meet my brother quick at coffee, and then we are headed to work, so I will see you there.
Just got some time to meet up with my brother Isaac at Moon Donuts and Coffee in Buffalo, Minnesota. It's an awesome donut place. It was just a fantastic time to catch up and talk. It was really fun. But heading to work now. I will see you guys there. Done with work,
Now we're heading back to Isaac and Holly's house. That's where Kate and I live. Gonna go see my wife.
Went out about a 4 mile walk and got some coffee.
8 miles total.
8 miles total. That was a good night. It's actually not that cold out. It's very icy though. Katie fell down already.
I did not fall. I almost fell. I did not fall.
It's been a good night. So that was just a typical day that we go through right now. I'm working in Buffalo at this print shop, just getting in the community, doing what I can to establish relationships with people there. I do wide format printing and some. We have a big cutter that makes. That was those machines that were shown there. But the days are much longer than that. But I'll be posting a lot of content like this to try to include people who are supporting us in our journey through prayer and financially as well. But just to kind of keep them involved in the journey as much as possible, because it's not about just us doing it. You know, it's about all of us. And, you know, last time I preached here was the 30th anniversary of the church, and it was just an awesome time to be like, you know, this is our legacy as senders, you know. It was really great, and you know, just to be involved in like this is how you can see exactly the results of the work here at Resurrection. So that's my plug for the YouTube channel there. But this is what we're going to go into. So I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the chance that I have just to be home, to be with my family, the church family here at Resurrection. I thank you for the family that you've made them into. God, I just pray that you would speak through me this morning, that it would be nothing of my content, but it would be all of yours. That nothing that I say would be remembered, nothing that I say would be revered, Lord, but all of your words would be. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to seek out ways in our life to live for you. In your name, amen. So the theme at the Church Planters Conference we went to was get out of the office. Get out of the office. That was one of my favorite things, because I think it's so important as pastors to not be spending that 40 hours a week just in your office writing down sermons, you know, being pastors, but instead spending that time out with the congregation, spending that time out with people, spending that time building relationships. And so I thought that was an awesome theme for the conference, and it just spoke to me the whole week. It was really, really awesome. But the first point I want to make here today, before we dive into the scripture, is Jesus calls us to meet people where they're at. And so that's why the title, I don't know if they put it in here. Yeah, the title is Stop Inviting People to Church. Meant to be a little provocative, but mostly just to get you to think. I'd have no problem with you inviting your friends to church. Don't get me wrong. I think that's fantastic. I just don't think that should be the main method of evangelism that we use. Because I don't think that's quite as effective as relationships. I don't think it's quite as effective as your relationship with your coworkers, with the people that you are interacting with every single day. I think it's a great opportunity for them to hear the gospel preached. I know Joel does that religiously. It's awesome. I love hearing his messages. But we can live out the gospel every single day, and people see that in our lives. My message today is about meeting people where they're at. So I have nothing wrong with this inviting a church or a friend to church. I think that's fantastic. I just don't think it's the most effective model for evangelism. So the purpose of church is it's to be this community of believers. It's to worship God. It's to glorify Him. And it's to be equipped to go out the other 6 days of the week. The purpose of church is not to get your one meal a week and to head home and starve for the rest of the week. The purpose of church is to equip you to be able to feed yourself and then go out to the world. And so that's what we're here for. It's to glorify God, and it's to be equipped to go out into the world. So we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 if you want to follow along. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, just kind of summarize essentially. But Jesus met people where they're at. If you guys know the song, you know, Zacchaeus was a... Let's all sing it right now, okay? I know you all know it, so Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Can you do the actions? Wee little man was he, and climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." So that in itself is a summary of the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Everyone, there's a huge crowd gathered around Jesus, well, because he's Jesus, and he's giving these amazing messages and healing people, and he's always gathering a crowd because he's Jesus. And Zacchaeus is this short guy, very similar to me probably. He climbs up in a tree so he can get a better view. And Jesus, as he's walking by, he tells him, you know, come down from the tree. I'm going to your house. I'm going to you to minister to you. All right, and then if you read along to the rest of the story, Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector, and he cheats people out of money. But when Jesus comes to him, he's reconciled, and he gives people all the money back and more so. But you see this example of Jesus all the time. Jesus is always going to the sick. He's always going to people to minister to them. He's always eating with sinners. He's always spending his time with people. He's not going to his work as a carpenter and then saying, well, you know, why don't you come to the synagogue with me and then we can learn about me. No, he's inviting people in wherever he's at in all the time. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission at the end of the chapter, and it talks about going out into all the world and making disciples of all nations, here, near, and far, in Judea and all the world, Judea, Samaria, and all the world, here, near, and far. And one thing that Resurrection has been fantastic at is sending out. One thing that you've been so great at is reaching people here, near, and far, through people that you send out at the church. I think that's absolutely fantastic. But what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing in your own life? What are you doing in your own employment, where you work, where you spend your time? How are you pointing people to Jesus? You know, your identity as a believer, I think, boils down to these three things that we are looking to plant our church on. It's loving God, it's loving people, and it's making disciples. What are you doing to make disciples? And what are you doing to love people? Those are hand in hand. And so I think it's just so important to not depend on this model of, like, I want you to know Jesus, so I'm going to invite you to church, and start looking at the model of, I want you to know Jesus, so I'm going to be Jesus to you. I'm going to show you who Jesus is in my life. And so that was so important for me, because I just... For years, I followed this model of, like, well, you know, I don't really have the greatest skills. I can't really minister to people like Pastor Joel can. So I'll just invite them, and then they can hear the gospel, and then they'll decide to follow Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with people deciding to follow Jesus at church. That's so many people's testimonies, and that is fantastic. But how many more testimonies are there where people have someone who's just ministering into their life where they're at? And how many, like, every big decision I've made in my life has come from someone who has been talking, just speaking into my life constantly, regardless of where I'm at, whether it's at church or youth group or just at school. There's been people in my life that influenced me to make these large, huge decisions, and so those were crucial for me. And so this YouTube ministry that I'm looking at is one of the ways that I'm looking at trying to meet people where they're at. Statistically, people under 20 are on their phones. I think it's like 75% of them are on their phones over like 5 to 8 hours a day. That's a crazy statistic. It is. But the reality is that's not changing anytime soon. And we can kind of gripe about it and moan and groan, but the reality is they're going to be on their phone, they're going to be on mobile devices, and what we can do instead of complaining about it is we can use it. We can meet them where they're at. Statistically, students under 18 are on their phone like that 8 hours a day, and 3 of those hours are usually on YouTube. YouTube is a fantastic method of learning. People will use it for all kinds of education. YouTube University, as they call it. They'll go and if they don't know how to do something, they'll look it up, and 10 minutes later, they have an idea how to do it. And so that's my goal with this YouTube channel, is to meet people where they're at. They're already on YouTube watching this content. It might as well be content that brings them closer to Jesus. It might as well be content that pushes them towards discipleship. And so that's my goal with that channel, as well as to include you in our journey. In that passage, in the Great Commission, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." That "go therefore" can be translated in a lot of different ways. I like it best as you go. As you go, make disciples. That means, you know, I used to look at this passage, this Great Commission, like, well, that's for the missionaries. You know, that's for the people that are going overseas. That's for the people that are going across the country to witness for Jesus. I used to see that as just a version of like, well, you know, that's not really for me. That's just for the people that are just dedicating their whole lives to it, you know. But when I realized that it could be translated as you go, I'm like, oh, wow, this is for me. It's as you go in your everyday life, as you are going, make disciples. You know, and so when I show up at work in Buffalo, I have the opportunity to talk to, I work with all women, and it's fantastic, but it can be exhausting at times. It's so fun, it is. But I have the opportunity to witness to these women in my workplace consistently, because they all know that I'm training to be a pastor, and consistently will ask me questions about it, and it's just opportunity after opportunity to share the gospel. It's opportunity after opportunity to share Jesus with them. And I love that about my job. But realistically, you don't have to be training to be a pastor to get those kind of opportunities. You can get those opportunities wherever you're at, whenever you're at. And the reality is you just have to be looking for them, because they're everywhere. People, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. There's so many people. And we interact with them every day at our work, places of work, at a place that we hang out. We can use those interactions. You just have to be intentional with them. Change happens in relationships. This is absolutely true in my life. The biggest moments in my life where I've decided to change things, or I've decided to just go for things, it's all come from places of relationship. If you guys have your Bibles, or if you have your phones, you can look up 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. Should have had this marked out. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God created us to be in relationship. God himself exists in relationship, in the Trinity, in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He himself exists in relationship, and when he created us, he made us to be in relationship with one another. And in this passage, we see that God gives us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of relationships, pointing people to the relationship that we can have with Jesus. You know, relationships are all over the place. They're work colleagues, they're family relationships, or just decent friends. There's relationships all over the place, and those relationships can lead to opportunity to share Jesus. I'm not saying that you have to be in your work every single day, standing in your break room, just preaching out the word. That wouldn't be a bad thing per se. But what I am saying is that these relationships that you're building just through the experiences that you have with people give you the opportunity, give you the platform to be Jesus to them. The last kind of point I want to dive into here is that sharing Jesus doesn't have to be a complicated endeavor. It doesn't have to be this thing where, well, I have to memorize all these verses and then recite them so that they will believe. It's great. Scripture memorization is great. The Romans Road, absolutely fantastic. But the reality is, you don't have to have this complex message to bring them to Jesus or to show them Jesus. We're going to look at the message of the woman at the well, and that's in John 4, if you want to look into it. I'm just going to gloss over what the story is, and it's basically, you guys know, but the story of the woman at the well, Jesus meets this woman that's there in a weird time so that there's no one else there. She's there avoiding people, essentially, and Jesus goes and talks to this woman, which is already not something that people did in that day. Not only that, was Jesus was a Jew and this woman was a Samaritan. And so there's all kinds of barriers that should have separated this, but Jesus still went and talked to this woman. But what I want to focus here is after the conversation in which Jesus proved that he was himself, that he was the Savior, and she believed, she ran to the city and she told everyone she knew. She told everyone in that city, and she didn't have this dynamic track that she was handing out to people. All she did was she told them her experience with Jesus. Like, this guy, you know, knew things about me that no one knew. Like, she just went to these people and she just told them her experience with Jesus. She told them her opportunity or her experience with the living God. And that's all we have to do. You know, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's the easiest thing in the world, because it's incredibly difficult sometimes. But it doesn't have to be this huge dynamic 5-week program that we put them through so they can understand who Jesus is. It can just be, you know, a comment here and there about how Jesus changed your life. It could be a comment here and there about how you wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that when I realized that, it was just this fantastic realization of like, oh, I can do this too. Because before, I'm like, I have such a hard time remembering the Romans Road. You know, how could I lead someone to Christ, or how could I be used by God to lead someone to Christ when I don't even know these things? The reality is, people learn through stories. People learn through other people's stories. How many times... You know, that's a huge thing on social media now. You look at, like, Twitter and not Twitter doesn't have them, but Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, all of them have the story option that's on top, and you can post it, and you can follow people's stories. Stories are a huge part of our nature. It's how we relate to things. And that vlog, that's all that was a story. It was a story about my day. People relate to stories, and so if you tell them a story about how Jesus impacted your life, that's all it takes. That's all it takes to point someone to Jesus. And God can use anything. Don't put God in a box where, like, well, I have to do all these certain things in this order. I have to recite these verses in order to get this person to believe Jesus. That's putting it all in your hands. If you just decide God is God, and he's the one that changes hearts, he's the one that changes minds, and then offer up what you have, which is your story. Your testimony. It doesn't have to be, you know, in youth group. Something I love that we did, but I don't know how many times I've used it. We did the 10-minute testimony. You know, put your story in 10 minutes. And I tried so hard to make it so dynamic, and I always thought mine was just so boring because, you know, I hadn't been saved from a drug addiction, and I hadn't almost died 10 times. And like, you know, I don't know if anyone's really going to listen to mine. But the reality is, God can use any story, and people relate to every story differently. Just don't put God in a box. He can use your story where you're at. The interesting thing about this story of the woman at the well, after she tells the people in the city and they believe her, they come back to her and they say, "We no longer." After Jesus comes and they meet Jesus, they say, "We no longer believe because of you, we believe because of Jesus." And this wasn't a slight to the woman. They weren't saying, yeah, well, we don't think your story is, you know, this garbage. We're just following Jesus. It was basically saying that, like, you know, we appreciate you so much because you helped us believe first, and now we have our own relationship with Christ. You know, we have our own relationship with Christ. That's what we hope for the people that we're able to minister in our lives. They get to a point where it's no longer our story that they're following. It's no longer what Christ did in our lives that they're following, but it's their own relationship with Jesus. It's their own relationship with the God that was introduced to them by our story. That one is just, I love that so much, that they go back and that Scripture includes the aftermath, essentially, of when they follow Jesus and they have their own relationships with him. They're not stuck in this baby Christian or baby faith stage where all they have is what other people give them. They're just being spoon-fed. They move on to a relationship with their own personal relationship with Jesus. I love that they include that. But I just want to end with this challenge to you. What person in your life needs Jesus? It's a rhetorical question because it's every single person in your life needs Jesus. Every person that you know needs Jesus. And there's some people we think of, oh, they really need Jesus. They need Jesus just as much as you. Every single person in your life needs Jesus. And we have the opportunity to show them him through our actions, through the way that we live our life, and through our words, through our stories. And so my challenge to you is think of three people in your life that you can share this story with. And it doesn't have to be this dynamic faith presentation. It can just be, hey, this is how Jesus showed up in my life today. This is how Jesus, you know, this is what I learned today from Scripture. You know, just something as simple as that. Who are three people in your life that you can impact with that in the next month? You know, it doesn't have to be every single day you're just pounding away at them until they finally decide to go to Jesus. God can use anything, the slightest comment, to plant a seed in their heart. I love that so much. So that's my challenge to you. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for every person in this room that's being equipped to send out others, but it's also being equipped to do ministry in their own lives. Lord, everyone here has a circle of influence of people that they interact with every day. And they're all people that I would never get to see on a daily basis. Lord, it's only so much ministry can be done in these walls. You equip us and you give us the empowerment to be able to do that in our everyday lives. Lord Jesus, help us to seek out those moments. Lord Jesus, help us to see when you want us to impact others. And give us the strength and the courage to be able to do that, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us. We love you in your name. Amen.